How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Packed week of news, as always, including a Sunday night pay-per-view, which is going to be starting right after this show goes off the air at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. It is the WWE Over the Limit pay-per-view from Detroit. Got a number of matches we'll preview here on this show. We'll talk about some of the angles that could come out of the show and some of the stuff leading up to the pay-per-views later on this summer, including the big SummerSlam pay-per-view. There is a feud on this show that, at least as of a couple of days ago, was planned to go through SummerSlam. So we'll talk about that match here in just a moment and where they might be going with a number of other matches and angles as well. We got a lot of other news to talk about from all over the world of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Linda McMahon, huge breakthrough in a run for Senate. We'll talk about that. Update on TNA. They had a pay-per-view last Sunday, the TNA Sacrifice pay-per-view. We'll talk briefly about that and the follow-up on the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night TV tapings. They've taped all of the shows leading up to the next pay-per-view in 3 days, which means if there are any injuries, if anybody gets hurt at a house show or whatever, all of the booking is going to get screwed up. Not that the booking is not screwed up enough. We'll talk about some of the big screw-ups on the show, including the top 10 rankings, how they don't make a whole lot of sense, and how the number one ranked guy actually ended up doing a job on the show, and how that leads to him still getting a title shot at the pay-per-view. More fun stuff, as always, with TNA. Talk about a UFC superstar who is about to fight in one of the biggest grudge matches of all time, who in another month is going to be appearing on Monday Night Raw. We'll talk about NXT and the Bryan Danielson attack on Michael Cole. Talk more about that, plus a WWE superstar axed in a wellness violation. What went down, why he was fired, and where he might be heading next. Former WWE and I think he was a TNA champion. I think everybody's been a TNA champion if they've worked in that company long enough. But he returned to TNA this past weekend at the house shows. We'll tell you about that. Plus, a couple of big shows that took place over the weekend. Matt Lindland got a big win, as did Tim Sylvia. Yes, Tim Sylvia at 305 pounds got a big win in an MMA fight. We'll talk about Ultimate Fighter, SmackDown, Raw, Bret Hart winning the U.S. title. Jim Ross's restaurant is shut down. Does that play into his negotiations with WWE or TNA? We'll address that, plus a whole bunch of other stories as well. We'll take your phone calls. We'll take your emails on all subjects covering pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. A packed 2 hours of programming coming up after this commercial break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next 2 full hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. How is it even possible that we could talk for 2 hours about this? We do it every single week, and this week, no exception, a lot of big news to talk about, including tonight's WWE Over the Limit pay-per-view, which, as a lot of people have noted, the name is very similar to the old Over the Edge pay-per-view, which was the pay-per-view where Owen Hart fell from the rafters and passed away, and I believe it was also in May. So we're looking at the similar pay-per-view name in the same month. I guess it's kind of creepy, but I don't know. I thought Over the Limit was going to have some sort of, you know, something to have to do with Detroit, cars, something like that. Instead, it's just a name. I don't know what it means. I don't know if there's supposed to be some sort of relevance to it, but that's the name of the pay-per-view, Over the Limit, tonight on pay-per-view, starting right after this show. And Mike, you looking forward to it?
Not really, because in a way I just kind of look at this as the next step to get into the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Obviously, we're going to probably see a finale with Cena and Batista. We've been talking about the possibilities of Batista leaving now for a while, and this is probably going to be it. But with Edge and Orton, with Mysterio and Punk, and with some other matches on here, I mean, I can see these matches, you know, McIntyre obviously going through until the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. So it's kind of a placeholder pay-per-view for me, as it looks right now.
Well, here's a creepy stat, by the way, to start this show off on a positive kick. Over the Edge, 1999, the show in which Owen Hart passed away, did in fact take place on May 23rd, 1999. So, same day as today in 1999. So I guess it would have been, 11 years ago now? 11 years ago, anniversary, Over the Edge, Over the Limit. I don't know. I prefer a different name, but that's just me.
Yeah, I would have too, but, you know, at least it's been 11 years before they even came up with anything with Over or The in it, as opposed to WCW, who went to Kemper Arena, 2 years after and had that canyon fall. So, you know, no matter what they do, they'll still always be second to WCW as far as bad taste goes.
What do you think of the chances they do some sort of deal for Owen Hart tonight?
I doubt it. Why would they? I mean, you have the Hart dynasty there. I mean, Bret Hart obviously not scheduled to do anything with the U.S. title tonight, but I don't see why you would, because I would figure if they're ever going to do anything with Owen Hart, it would be next year at WrestleMania or inducting him or something like that if it's okay with Bret, which I just can't. I can't fathom it being tonight.
Yeah, I think the problem is now in the internet age, I think they're... I mean, you could say, well, we don't have to say that he passed away during a pay-per-view and we kept the show going, but, you know, you could just put up a graphic in memory of Owen Hart, you know, passed away on this day in 1999. But the problem is in the internet age, you know, I think they know that if they do that and don't say the circumstances, then anybody curious is going to immediately go to Google, read the entire story, read all about the controversy, and I don't think they want that. So my guess would be that they will not, in fact, say anything about him tomorrow night. Although, you know, until about 2 minutes ago, I never even considered they would do it anyway. So there you go. Let's talk about this pay-per-view. The main event, WWE Champion Cena facing Batista in an I Quit match. There was a lot of talk going into this pay-per-view that it would be a loser leaves town match because Batista has been talking a lot about leaving the company. And Batista has been talking about leaving the company for a long time now. Actually, for several years, in fact, he's been talking about taking an extended period of time off. And the first thing they decided was, well, we can't do a loser leaves town match because TNA, and it's astounding that this was even considered, but TNA did the retirement match with Tara at the pay-per-view last Sunday. So I think they figured that they didn't want to look like they were copying TNA. I don't know. I certainly...
Yeah, because it was so good.
I don't think a lot of people would have seen that and thought, huh, they're copying TNA! They would have probably not thought of anything at all, but regardless, they were a little concerned about that, but mostly the reason that it is no longer a loser leaves town match is because nobody knows what's going on with Batista, including a lot of the creative team, so there is a possibility that he will not be leaving, and so the idea is he may not leave, number one, and number two, he may leave, he may go to do movies, he may fail, and he may be back looking for work again shortly thereafter. And if you do Loser Leaves Town, then you're going back on a stipulation. So basically the idea was, well, do I quit? We'll get rid of him, or he'll leave, or whatever. And if the time comes in 2 months and he decides he wants to come back, well, all we did was I quit, so he can come back, and we're not reneging on any stipulation. So that's the deal there. I suppose there's a slim possibility that it's a swerve and Batista wins, but my guess is John Cena makes a dude quit. And besides, John Cena isn't quitting, so that's the finish of the match right there.
Yeah, I mean, if you do lose or leave town, I mean, no matter what, it'll probably be gone for more than a month anyway, so the results could really be the same if you made it lose or leaves town, but if he doesn't come back, you always have that piece of tape with him saying, I quit. But realistically, I mean, this obviously, to be honest, even though I hate the way his character has been, it's been fantastic, so I don't want to see him leave. But realistically, with Batista, I mean, the more he works, the more chance he has to get hurt anyway. And I think regardless, I don't think this is a situation like The Rock, although, you know, I guess anything's possible, where Batista all of a sudden becomes this major motion picture star, at least gets a whole bunch of, you know, bit roles or secondary roles or something like that. So I think it's a guarantee that you're going to see him back at some point.
WWE, actually this WWE title match, world title match is Jack Swagger and Big Show. I have not seen this week's SmackDown. I saw last week's show and, you know, they did what you do to build up a match, but it's not clicked with me at all. I know you've watched SmackDown. How was the build on the go-home show, and do you care about this match at all?
Well, it kind of because Show got him again this week, made fun of him in the fact that the last 2 weeks he chokeslammed him through the announcer's table, and he's gotten him the last 2 weeks. Well, he comes out and causes a distraction, which let Kofi go ahead and pin him. So, you know, they have that aspect going there of Kofi beating him. Sorry, I'm brainlocking right now, but Swagger losing again. He tries to sneak in on Big Show with a chair at the end during his match with Drew McIntyre. It's a DQ, but Show punches the chair out of his hand. So this is the third week in a row now where Show has gotten over on Swagger. So that would say to me that Swagger is probably going to somehow pull one out of his rear end and actually get the win.
So Kofi pinned Swagger?
Kofi actually pinned Swagger.
I always hate that on the go-home shows because I guess I'll have to see how it looks. But to me, it's always like, okay, so you've got the champion, you've got the number one contender. And then on the go-home show, another guy pins the champion. So shouldn't he be added to the match? Shouldn't it be a three-way? Or I guess maybe he'll get the next shot at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. I don't know. But it just always seems weird. I mean, it's one thing to have the heel get embarrassed in some way leading into the pay-per-view by the babyface or obviously do the opposite, which they often do, of the heel lays out the babyface. But usually whoever is embarrassed on the go-home show ends up winning at the pay-per-view, and I don't expect that to be any different tonight. I would be really surprised if they put the title on the Big Show, but you never know. But I don't like, I mean, they do in TNA too, where, you know, a guy is challenging for the title, so his humiliation has to be that somebody else pins him. And they try and justify it by saying, well, you know, the challenger caused the champion to be pinned by someone else. So, you know, that makes people want to see the two guys fight. And to me, it's like, no, that makes me want to see the guy that beat the champion get a shot at his title. But I'm not.
Yeah, and this is no excuse, but unlike in TNA when it happens and you have no idea exactly why it's happening, at least they tied it in with Kofi getting screwed by Drew McIntyre and having to give back the Intercontinental title. So they had that angle because they had Kofi confront McIntyre, and you figure that's what they're going to do with the Money in the Bank pay-per-view is have two IC titles, I would assume.
I had not thought of that.
And you know, and again, Swagger and Kofi, I mean, not the swiftest of combinations, and a little bit, at least from what was how it played on TV, was, you know, Kofi's whiffs, so not really looking forward to it.
We'll talk a little bit about Drew McIntyre and Kofi Kingston after the break, and then we'll run down the rest of the pay-per-view. Actually, a lot of big matches on paper on this pay-per-view here, but still, it still feels like, for whatever reason, a cold product right now. I'm not anticipating a lot of buys for this show, but we'll talk about the rest of the card. We'll talk about some predictions for the buy rate, and we'll talk about whether the UFC show coming up at the end of the month is going to do 7 times the buys of this show. We'll discuss that in just a moment. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next hour and a half talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Lots of stuff to talk about today. We're going down the WWE Over the Limit pay-per-view, which is taking place just after this radio program goes off the air. You can follow the action live at WrestlingObserver.com. We'll be running a play-by-play after all of the matches. So if you don't buy the pay-per-view, you can head over there to WrestlingObserver.com and get the results for free as they take place. We're talking about the Drew McIntyre-Kofi Kingston match. This is, of course, built up by Drew McIntyre being stripped of the title for profusely beating Matt Hardy to a bloody pulp, and then Kofi Kingston beat Christian to win the championship in a decision match. And no sooner should he win the title than Drew McIntyre returned, gave a letter to Teddy Long. Teddy read the letter. It was from Vince McMahon reinstating Drew McIntyre and giving him the belt back. And that, of course, led to Drew versus Kofi for the title here on the show. I would guess that since Kofi pinned Jack Swagger on SmackDown, that Drew is probably retaining the title here, which sure makes Kofi look like a geek, but what the hell? I guess Kofi's just kind of going to be a geek for a while here, so there you go.
Well, unless you throw the curveball, which I guess would make for the better TV, trying to build something up for the pay-per-view if they're going to do split titles. They didn't have Kofi win and then have Drew come out, say he's the chosen one again, and then try to lead into the pay-per-view that way.
Could do a lot of different things, and actually that does. We'll talk about the Money in the Bank pay-per-view here in a little while, but obviously a lot of this is going to lead to that Money in the Bank pay-per-view, and you had a couple of ideas as well, and there are actually a lot of questions about that show because, well, we'll get into that in a little while. Let's finish running down the deal here. Also on the show tonight, we've got the Rey Mysterio CM Punk match. It's the Straight Edge Society Pledge versus Hair match, which means that if Rey Mysterio loses this match, he must join the Straight Edge Society. And if Rey Mysterio wins the match, he shaves CM Punk's head bald. Now, a lot of things could happen tonight. What we know is that if CM Punk wins tonight, this feud is going to continue through the SummerSlam pay-per-view. Of course, if Ray wins tonight, then they just shave Punk's head, and that's probably the end of that. But I would expect, based on the stipulations, that Ray is forced to join the society tonight. We get a couple of months of goofball comedy, maybe not comedy. It's kind of, you don't want to do comedy in a serious angle like this. But Ray, I presume, would be doing things to annoy CM Punk and screw him out of matches and that sort of thing, and Punk finally flips and they end up signing the match with the hair strips at SummerSlam, and Punk gets shaved. In the end, Punk is getting shaved. Question is it tonight or later? And my guess would be later.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's later too. And I mean, this is something you could go on with for so long. I mean, just when you go back to the CM Punk interrupting the birthday celebration alone, I mean, I can't be the only one who didn't think, okay, Dominic can get his head shaved or something like that. And there's so many ways you can go with this. And there is going to be comedy because of the facial expressions that Punk makes and everything that goes in with this. But the way they've been able to play this, they've been able to do, to me, everything right, which is if they can just hold off and wait till SummerSlam to do anything, it'll be fantastic. And you can even go further than that just because you can have a match, you know, after you shave Punk's head, you can shave his chest.
That's true. And the beard.
It's hot this time of year. Hot to be walking around with that.
What if shave your head includes the beard? Because your beard is on your head.
You know, the way that as mighty as that beard has gotten, they probably will do that. Or
well,
take maybe some of that off in the lead up to the, maybe trims that in the lead up to the hair match.
As mighty as it has gotten, he has been trimming it, unfortunately. He's not just let it grow asunder. But you know, when they first did the birthday party thing, I mean, they wanted to go much farther than they did. They wanted to actually shave the daughter, believe it or not. This was the idea that Ray and Punk had, and WWE just said, that ain't happening. So they had ideas, though, that they wanted to do, and as often happens when people have ideas, bookers, unfortunately, get in the way.
Randy. But you know what? They're at least on that one. I gotta be honest with the, you know, their PG crowd. It's probably too much. But Dominic's head could have been fair game there, or maybe he can go Bill Dundee style. Maybe he could convince his wife to put up her hair.
That's right.
Hey, maybe she'll have to do that to get him out of the Straight Edge Society.
That could also be. There are a lot of ideas they could do as long as Punk doesn't get shaved tonight.
Yeah, that's. That's the bottom line, and if this was TNA, he'd probably be getting shaved tonight.
Randy Orton versus Edge in a strange match in the sense that when you hear Randy Orton versus Edge, you think Randy Orton heel, Edge babyface. Nope. Tonight, Randy Orton is the babyface, Edge is the heel. They tried to explain it on TV. They largely failed. But hey, I at least they tried. I've often said this about TNA. Sometimes they do these goofy swerves, and they don't even explain why the swerve happened. At least WWE often tries to explain this stuff, even if they do a poor job of it, which they did here. But I don't know what I don't know. I kind of figure Edge wins to keep the feud going. I don't know. Probably doesn't matter. In fact, it doesn't matter at all. It's one of the problems with pay-per-views, why everything kind of seems a little bit cold. I mean, does it really matter whether Randy Orton or Edge wins this match? The answer is no, it does not matter at all. And when you've got a match and people know it doesn't matter at all who wins, they really don't care that much about the match.
No, and you know, kind of the odd thing was, too, when they flash it up on the screen of, you know, they're announcing the match, you know, and the teeing up on the TV shows, and it's just their names, and there's no gimmick tied to the match at all, which guarantees you that it really doesn't matter what happens, because, and not that this is a bad thing or anything, just to have a normal wrestling match, but it does also scream in the fact that this is going to be going on for quite some time.
We got the Unified Tag Champs, Hart Dynasty, against Jericho and Miz. I know a lot of people are expecting a title change here. I don't know if I do. It seems early. Hart Dynasty just won the belts. Bret Hart just won the U.S. title. I guess maybe in that sense it makes sense for the Hart Dynasty to lose here. But I kind of think that this is kind of the beginning of a longer feud, and that perhaps the Hart Dynasty wins tonight. And they do a rematch at some point with some sort of stip, and that's when the titles change hands. But just kind of seems too early to switch the belts, unless the plan is to switch them now and then put them back on the Hart Dynasty when this feud is over. But I don't know. I kind of don't see it ending up that way. So I'll predict that the Hart Dynasty retains tonight.
Yeah, I'll say that they retain too, and then I guess we can play, you know, continue to play a little bit of fantasy booking here. Just in the fact that obviously Bret Hart's not going to be defending the U.S. title, I wouldn't believe. So I could see maybe, who knows, Bryan Danielson coming out and causing Miz to lose. And then maybe that's another idea they have for Money in the Bank right now, is what do you do with the U.S. title if Bret Hart gives it up, or however you're going to do that. Put that up in a six-man that would include the Miz and probably include Bryan Danielson, and maybe have something happen that way.
It's actually a good idea if Bret vacates the title and the U.S. title goes up in Money in the Bank. I guess if you make it the centerpiece of a pay-per-view and have stars fight for it, then you certainly elevate the title. And I'd like if they unified the IC and the U.S. title and put that in a Money in the Bank match and earn a ladder match on the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. And you could unify those, get somebody over, and then do a Money in the Bank pay-per-view in the main event of the pay-per-view. And like I said, we'll talk about that more after we run down the show. But even Maryse, Divas title, I don't know. I'm thinking horrible.
I'm thinking pretty horrible, too, but at least there'll be nice, shiny outfits on beautiful tan women. And by the way, on SmackDown, when you do get a chance to watch it, the first match features your favorite tag team of Laypool.
Yay!
Although I'll say this, and I can't believe I'm actually going to say this, I have a feeling in a year from now, Tiffany will be the one that's pushed on if they do NBC crossover shows and all that sort of stuff. We're going to see nonstop Tiffany in the next year. I guarantee it.
Why would you say that?
I just have a feeling she's going to be their new PR queen. I can almost guarantee you that.
Is there something I don't know here?
No, I'm telling you, I just have a feeling this is the way it's going to go. You're going to see, obviously, there's much Eve. They brought her to the, when they announced WrestleMania 25, they had Kelly and Eve there, and it's not like Kelly will be going away. I can just see more Tiffany, which I know makes you so happy.
R-Truth and Ted DiBiase with Virgil. The legit
wrestling
Virgil.
Superstar Virgil?
Wrestling superstar Virgil will be in the corner of Ted DiBiase here on this program. Yeah, I think the match is going to be good. I like R-Truth. I like Ted DiBiase. I think they're going to have a good match. I don't know how Virgil plays into this. I almost am more intrigued in that than anything else on this show. What is Virgil doing on this pay-per-view, for God's sake? But maybe tomorrow's the day that we find out who the legit new Virgil is.
That's true. Maybe Virgil finds his self-respect and helps out R-Truth, but for some reason I can't see that happening because they're not going to slow up with Junior and the $1 million belt.
Maybe we'll have a horseman beatdown where R-Truth and DiBiase team up and beat up Virgil.
That's possible, too. Although, yeah, and that's it. Sadly, I know people in Canada didn't see this, but it was one of the only few things I remember from Raw from this week was actually the R-Truth's MasterCard mock commercial that they did on Ted DiBiase, but
yeah.
If you're Canadian, you didn't miss that much, but it just shows you kind of how poor the shows were, really how average the shows were this week leading into this pay-per-view.
So that is Over the Limit. It's airing at 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern, in other words, about an hour and a half, right after this show goes off the air. And as noted, if you are interested in the pay-per-view somewhat, but not enough to actually buy it, you can head to WrestlingObserver.com. We'll be recapping the show, given the results of all the matches after they end. And, of course,
you know what you can do? You can watch. You can follow the results on the website, WrestlingObserver.com, and watch Over the Top with Terry Funk.
You could do that as well. I was actually going to say you could buy the pay-per-view and then compare your views with those of Dave Meltzer at WrestlingObserver.com. So whatever your option is, it's coming up after the show. But we're going to talk more about WWE, the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, Raw, and much, much more after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And for all the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates, radio shows, features, TV reviews, pay-per-view recaps. Got tons of stuff up there. And, of course, as noted, if you love radio shows, we've got a lot of them up there at WrestlingObserver.com. Head up there right now. Scroll down the right-hand side of the page. There's a list of our latest three free radio shows. Download them. Put them on your iPod, your iPhone, whatever media player you prefer. Check them out. And if you like what you hear, consider signing up. We do 15 to 20 radio shows every single week. I don't even know how many shows we did in the last couple of weeks. I know there was a period where I did 8 shows in 4 days or something like that. But if you love wrestling audio,
Monday morning it'll be about 16 shows this week.
That's right. 16 shows on Monday morning. We just did a show the other day with Bruno Sammartino. And if you've not heard it, it's a great show. And if you have heard it and you just signed up, you can actually go back into the archives. And I think we've got 3 or 4 other shows with Bruno that you can download to your iPod as well. It's only $10.99 a month, which is extremely cheap given all the stuff that's available. Every radio show that we've ever done dating back to 2005, which is literally thousands and thousands of shows and maybe tens of thousands of hours of audio, it's all up there at WrestlingObserver.com for subscribers. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. Check out all the free content, pay-per-view recaps, daily news updates. And if you want more, sign up. And I think somebody emailed and said they tried to go through all of the shows back-to-back in a year, and they couldn't get it done. So you won't get it done either, because it's impossible. Anyway, let's get back to the news here. WWE Money in the Bank pay-per-view. It's a very interesting show, because Money in the Bank has always been a deal at WrestleMania where the mid-carders all get a chance to fight for a briefcase and try and get a shot at the world title. And it's a chance for guys to get elevated. You know, Jack Swagger was really nothing before he won Money in the Bank, and it was the beginning of CM Punk's elevation and a lot of other guys as well. However, this is now a annual pay-per-view. They're probably not going to be doing Money in the Bank at WrestleMania anymore. And now that it's a pay-per-view, now that it's a headliner, you would think they've got to have main eventers in it. And the whole idea of Money in the Bank is it was a chance for non-main eventers to get a shot they wouldn't normally have gotten otherwise. So what are your thoughts on this, Mike, in the sense that it used to be a real cool tool to elevate guys? Now it's a main event where, because it's the main event and in a headlining position on a major pay-per-view, you almost have to use established stars, none of whom need to be elevated.
It's, I guess the first question is, how many of them do you want to have on the show? Because you can have, like, obviously, like we were talking about for the U.S. title, if it, you know, you do two as part of a tournament and then have one at the end, and maybe, you know, if you wanted to merge the titles, you could do that. Do you want to have, you know, the world and WWE titles in those types of matches, or do you want to just have maybe three underneath? It's how many do you want to have, and it's a baffling pay-per-view for me, because they're so heavy on, they want to have bragging rights, so they can push the SmackDown vs. Raw game. They always seem to go into a mental funk after WrestleMania, where it just takes them some time to chug along again. And they have a built-in opportunity to bring back War Games and sell DVDs and do things like that if they wanted to. If they stuck to that SmackDown vs. Raw thing coming out of WrestleMania, they could make it easy on themselves and kind of clear their heads to what they want to do by having the two brands kind of feud with each other and have those pay-per-views kind of close together, and instead of having Money in the Bank do War Games, would have made more sense to me, because you're real limited. And I mean, how many times do we really want to see this? It's like having, you know, Big Daddy V in the Elimination Chamber. I mean, it's just, it to me, I can see, okay, maybe once it'll be okay for a pay-per-view, but it's going to be interesting to see how they keep, you know, doing this year after year, and if they still plan on having one for WrestleMania, too.
Yeah, the thing with, I think you can only do one, because I don't like the idea of three guys running around with briefcases, for example, because TNA, they did their Feast or Fired, and Kevin Nash won the tag team briefcase, and literally everybody in TNA forgot about it. And I'm not even talking fans. I'm talking the guy that booked Kevin Nash to win the Feast or Fired tag team title briefcase, he forgot. Somebody had to bring it up to him that, hey, I don't know if you remember, but Nash still has his tag title briefcase. And that's actually how the Outsiders ended up winning the titles. Because somebody brought it up, he remembered, they figured they had to do something with it. But I don't like the idea of three guys with briefcases. It's overkill. Fans are going to forget, unless you're always bringing the briefcase out every week. And even then, it's just, you don't need three guys with cases. You need one. So I was kind of thinking maybe you could do like Money in the Bank, and then you do a ladder match for the Intercontinental and U.S. titles or whatever we were talking about earlier. But I don't know if you can really do that, because then you're infringing on the gimmick of the TLC pay-per-view, where you've got a TLC match, a tables match, a ladders match, and a chairs match all on the pay-per-view. So it's going to be really weird. They're going to be building up to it here soon, so I guess we'll see what they do. But I don't know. Not a fan of the idea, at least when thinking about it here. But maybe they've got some idea up their sleeve.
No, and it's too bad too, because you go, okay, well, too bad they don't have a focus on any tag teams that are well oiled and work together, you know, well enough to be messing with ladders. But with that said, if they pull on a performance, then how are you supposed to follow that with like your next two or however you're going to do it too? So again, it's going to be interesting to see how many of these they actually book to have on the show. If it's two, if it's three, because it's just, yeah, one is enough, and doing it at WrestleMania I thought would be enough, but we'll see what they do.
Not to mention, how many guys are going to be in it? Because, I mean, at WrestleMania they had eight, and it's one of those good examples of foresight being 2020, my favorite term, because going in, it was obvious eight people was going to be too many, and in fact, eight people was too many. There were guys all over the place. Dudes had to fall down and lay outside forever. It was just a complete mess. Eight guys is too many in a match of this sort. You need maybe six, maybe seven, but I would keep it at six. And eight guys is just, to me, it's overkill.
Well, yeah, and that's, yeah, I mean, six is plenty. Seventh, if you have another guy in there, because you say you need two bases to jump off of and, you know, a couple other guys. But, yeah, they seem to be arbitrary at that at WrestleMania every year anyway, because I think it started with, what, five or six, and I think that number's varied every time they've had one.
Now, in talking about the U.S. title, we should mention that on Raw on Monday night, Bret Hitman Hart won his fifth United States title. Yes, in WCW, he won it four times, I think in like the course of like 4 months, too, which tells you something about WCW. But regardless, he's a five-time U.S. champion now. He came out, Miz had chosen him to face him for the title after they beat the Hart Dynasty, I think. Or I forget the setup, but anyway, he was allowed to challenge one member of the... Or no, I guess it was Tyson Kidd beat him, is that right?
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Tyson beat him, which meant that Miz had to defend the title, but Miz got to choose who he defended the title against. He chose Bret Hart, and Bret came out and didn't want to do it, but Chris Jericho came out and gave him a guilt trip and talked him into doing it. So Bret came out. It was no DQ. We had run-ins by the Hart Dynasty, Kozlov, his other buddy. Who's Kozlov's buddy these days? I've already forgotten. Oh,
not MacGruber.
Kozlov and who is it? It's not Santino, is it? No, Regal.
Oh, well,
Regal.
Yeah,
Kozlov and Regal.
Carlito, now it's Regal.
My God, I swear to God, everybody, I've never had a concussion. So these two guys came out, and it ended with Bret, Jericho, Miz. Bret ended up putting Miz in the sharpshooter after Tyson Kidd gave Miz a springboard dropkick. Miz tapped out. Bret won the title. I guess it was nice. It was in Toronto. Everybody loved it. But Bret is, I mean, he's kind of what he said he never wanted to be, which was the guy who was really old and still doing this. But I mean, the difference is he's not hanging on. They are hanging on to him. I mean, he was unaware that he was supposed to have a U.S. title match until his son saw it on TV and called him, and he had no idea. So this was the week before the show. And he won the title. I guess we'll see where it goes from here. He's obviously not going to be defending it. Maybe he'll, as noted, vacate it and do something at Money in the Bank. But I don't know. I don't know. It was a nice thing, but I just don't need to see Bret Hart in the ring anymore.
No, it was a goofy, nice thing to do, but I kind of wish they would have did something that, obviously, you get too easy for, you know, somebody to say, well, there was a good chance to do something with Bryan Danielson. But you know what? There was actually a good chance to do something with Bryan Danielson there. His Miz can do both the Hart Dynasty thing with Chris Jericho, and I hope they actually keep those guys feuding together, because it just helps Tyson Kidd and Harry Smith. So hopefully they're able to do that, and I would have the confidence in Miz to do something with the U.S. title with Danielson. So I thought they should have done something that way, but I was really hoping that after Bret won that U.S. title, he'd do like he did in WCW during one of his reigns, and that's call out El Dandy to be his first opponent.
That's right. Well, El Dandy is still available, I'm sure. You know, the thing with Danielson is, I mean, it was a ready-made deal. I mean, it was, you had the deal where Miz was supposed to wrestle that one week, and he came out and said that he had a shoulder injury, or he had whatever his injury was, but he had a doctor's note, and he had Danielson replace him in the match, and of course Danielson got beat. And you could have done the exact same thing here, where Bret came out and said, hey, I can't wrestle. Everyone knows I have a stroke. I've got a doctor's note, but I happen to have a great replacement here. And of course the replacement's Bryan Danielson, wrestles Miz, beats him for the title, gets over big, and the rest is history. But nope, they did what they did. I didn't understand it. Maybe their idea was my idea, and people were talking about it, and so they decided, well, we've got to swerve the people, and this, and I don't even know what they do anymore, but I was not really a fan of this. I mean, it was nice. I love Bret Hart. It was great for him, but it's just, everybody knows the guy can't work anymore, and putting him out there week after week, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, it's too bad. I mean, I'm glad he's getting paid. I would assume he's getting paid, and him being there, still, it does help Tyson Kidd and Harry Smith. So, I mean, having them there is nice, too. But, it's almost like they've done it out of spite with Bryan Danielson. I wasn't a big fan of the NXT concept. Although, okay, I can understand what you're doing. Then you put him on the losing streak. Okay, I can sort of fathom that, too. But it didn't work, and nothing worked. You had a chance to, I mean, Christ, after WrestleMania, all you had to do was have somebody insulting honor of Shawn Michaels, and you could have brought Danielson in that way, too. And again, like you said, there was a ready-made thing here to get yourself out of this goofy NXT thing and get him into getting some people behind him in an easy, cheap way to do it. And for whatever reason, they don't want to do it, so don't get it.
You know what's amazing? I want to mention this before we go to break. In 1997, Bret Hart was leaving for WCW, and he was still the WWF champion. And this was such a major concern to Vince McMahon that the Montreal Screwjob went down. Now, what does it tell you about the U.S. title and TNA as an organization when Bret Hart's last day under his current WWE deal was last Monday in Toronto, and on that last day, they gave him the U.S. title? You know what I mean? It's astounding. I mean, they care so little about Bret potentially taking that title and going to TNA. In fact, they don't care at all, and it's, I mean, people now, young fans, when they hear me say that, they probably think, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Why would they even care at all that Bret Hart is going to take the U.S. title to TNA? In 1997, this was life or death style material right here. It's just, it's amazing how the world has changed. And I guess we'll see if they sign him to a new deal and what they do with him. And he ain't going to TNA, everybody. I can tell you that right now. But just thought it was really kind of funny and ironic when I thought about that, but we're going to head to a break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're going to open up the phone lines and take some emails here in the second hour, but we've got one more quick segment here to get through, so that's coming up after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Only got a couple of minutes for this segment here, so we'll talk very quickly about the closing of Jim Ross's barbecue restaurant. JR closed it down. He's going to be concentrating on his online business, which actually is doing very well. It's up 200% this year over last year, so he's going to be concentrating on that. And he's got some other projects in the works as well. Not yet re-signed with WWE. I guess we'll see what happens. He's still working for them. He's doing payroll and a number of other things as well. And I think they've got some projects they'd like him to work on. So we'll see what happens with Jim Ross. I would not hold my breath waiting for him to jump to TNA. Chances of that, I think, were probably very slim for reasons we've talked about many, many times in the past. But I was sad to hear the restaurant closed down because I always hoped that someday I'd be in that neck of the woods and get a chance to go try some of his barbecue. But I guess just have to order online now.
Yeah, actually, same here, too. But, you know, it's incredibly hard to run a restaurant in good times. So in times like this, too, as long as that online business is doing well, good news for JR.
Of course, the rumors, talking about him for a while, of Paul Heyman and Jim Ross and other guys being approached about going to TNA. All I can tell you is that, number one, I wouldn't expect Jim Ross going. Number two, I wouldn't expect Paul Heyman going. None of these are really new revelations. We've pretty much been talking about them for weeks. But TNA is in a kind of a rough spot right now in the sense that got a lot of guys in their contract. Dixie Carter doesn't want to cut anybody. Even guys that are making like $200 a shot. Just doesn't want to let people go. And essentially the story is that until they get some of these costs under control and figure out what they're going to do, apparently there's some big name guys that if they came free, no matter how much of a game changer people think they might be, I think the folks in TNA have realized that right now nobody is really a game changer and they're not going to be throwing a lot of money really at anybody. So we're going to talk some more about that after the break and a lot of other news as well. Take your phone calls and emails. Lots of stuff coming up in the next hour. We got another hour here of Wrestling Observer Live. So we'll be back in just a moment after the top of the hour break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Radio Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as always by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare at WrestlingObserver.com. Often covers a lot of pro wrestling in Japan. We don't talk about that a lot here on this program, but we got a short segment here, so in the next 2 minutes, Mike, what is going on in Japan these days?
Oh, good. A little bit of everything going on in Japan these days, actually. Just recently in New Japan, Shinsuke Nakamura, who's been having a really good run as of recently, lost his IWGP Heavyweight Championship to Togi Makabe, who is a guy that has evolved as a character in the last couple of years. Basically, Brody's old music, you know, furry boots, the chain going, but also the Steve Austin style of jacket, which I know sounds like a big, incredible ripoff, but actually he's been able to pull it off fantastic, and he's really been able to grow, and that's one thing New Japan's been able to do very, very well over the last few years, is really do a good job about, you know, growing some guys like Nakamura and Tanahashi, and they were doing a good job with Naofumi Yamamoto, who's appearing as Yoshitatsu now in WWE, but they've done a great job there, and they also have the Best of the Super Juniors coming up, which a completely loaded up show, which has all their normal guys in there like Liger and Tiger Mask and Koji Kanemoto, but it's also featuring Kenny Omega and Hayato Jr. Fujita, La Sombra from CMLL, Kushida, Davey Richards, Kota Ibushi, so it's really going to be a loaded up show, and looking forward to Prince Devitt in it too. Now he's coming back off a knee surgery, and it's looking like he's going to be the one that ends up with the IWGP Junior title by the end of the year.
And of course, I guess Jushin Liger is the CMLL's middleweight champion, I believe, but
yeah, he's the middleweight champion, and I'm not quite sure if Tanahashi, Okamura, and I can't remember who the other guys that they're teaming with in Japan right now are actually holding on to the six-man titles as well.
No, they lost them Friday, actually.
Oh, damn.
Yes.
Tanahashi's hair deserves a belt at all times.
They lost them Friday, and Liger's apparently going to be coming to Mexico to defend that title here sometime soon, so I'm sure that he may have some bad times, too, as well. So,
well, I tell you what, a Cubs fan said it, though. One thing about Liger and his current state right now and what he's doing scouting-wise and everything for the company, at this point in his career, Mexico could be a good long-term thing for him.
Actually, I think Liger was working. I think it was Jersey All Pro Wrestling tonight. Actually, so he's in America right now. We're going to head to a break. We've got some people on the line. We'll get to the phone calls here in just a moment. Of course, take some email questions as well and talk the news. Got a lot of news to catch up with today. So it's coming up in just a moment. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next hour, taking your phone calls and emails. Got a caller on the line right now. You're on Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from? Let's try that again. You're on Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. This is Eddie from Los Angeles.
Eddie, what's going on?
Not much. Just wanted to say great job with the show, man.
Oh, thanks. Any questions?
My question for you is, what has JBL been up to, and how come he hasn't gotten a guest host appearance on Raw?
God, what has he been up to? I mean, he's working for his wife's company, and he's working on a lot of side projects of his own, and I don't even know why he has not been a guest host yet. I presume that they're just searching for folks in Hollywood at this point, and I would guess at some point if it comes up, he'll do it, but I don't think there's any particular reason why he hasn't.
Okay. Do you see him as a potential GM down the line?
I would see him as a potential GM if something happened in his outside business ventures and they began to fall apart or they stopped making money or he had to close things down. And basically, if his outside ventures began to fail, I can see him coming back to wrestling. But I think he's got enough projects on the table right now that I don't see him coming back as a regular GM anytime soon.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, hey, thanks a lot for the comment.
All right, thanks very much. Really appreciate it. And by the way, speaking of GMs, some of you may have heard by now, there's a new GM, a new Raw GM on Monday, a permanent GM. And Mike, have you heard the man in the running for the top spot at this point?
Yes, and you wonder why. I think they're going to make Tiffany the new face of the women of that company over the next year. If it's true, Abraham Washington.
Abe Washington.
Well, yeah. You can look at one benefit out of this, and that's Tony Atlas will get a vice presidential job or some sort of job as the assistant GM.
Well, you hope so.
I guess that could be a plus.
He's been canned.
No, Tony Atlas?
No, Tony Atlas has been canned.
Maybe Virgil can take Tony Atlas' spot.
That's possible. But Tony Atlas could always be brought back because these things... I mean, obviously, a week ago, I don't think Abe Washington was the number one contender for the GM role. Things changed very quickly, and this actually, I swear to God, everybody, this is one of those examples where I'll give you an example. Last week, I had the idea for what they could do with Bryan Danielson in Toronto, where Bret Hart chooses him as the guy due to the doctor's note and that sort of thing. I don't think I talked about that here on this program because I figured if I talk about it, they're not going to do it. And so I tried to keep very quiet with it, hoping that they would do it, but they didn't. So I swerved myself. But the point is, I am hoping with all of my might that by announcing that Abe Washington, everybody, is the number one contender. He's in the top of the running for the Raw GM. By announcing that vigorously, as loudly as I can here on this program, which goes out all across the United States and around the world on both terrestrial and internet radio, by announcing that here, they won't do it. Please.
Coach 2010.
Oh, worse.
That's the best. I don't understand when... The guy can probably be a pretty good announcer. Make him an announcer. Have him go to Florida and just be an announcer.
The guy's a great announcer in Florida.
Be an announcer and be an annoying heel announcer. That would be good enough.
Here's the thing with Abe Washington. Abe Washington is a good announcer, and Abe Washington in Florida is a good performer. I have nothing against Abe Washington personally. In fact, I think he's pretty talented. The problem is, whenever he's brought up to WWE TV and ECW, they write the most horrendous stuff for him. The problem with Abe Washington is not Abe Washington. The problem with Abe Washington is the material that these people are giving him. And if they bring him to Raw and give him that same material they were giving him on ECW, then yes, Vince McMahon is correct when he says that within a few months, Sci-Fi, the SmackDown on Sci-Fi show is going to be doing the same ratings as Raw. And that's not because the SmackDown ratings are going to rise. It's because the Raw ratings are going to tank. He killed ECW. Not as bad as NXT did, but he killed ECW.
But you know how you can get those ratings back every single week? You have the guest host be Quentin Rampage Jackson, and there can be black-on-black crime.
Actually, we'll talk
every week on Raw.
We'll talk about Quentin here in just a moment. We got a caller on the line. You're on Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Oh, this is Jim from Virginia.
Oh, my goodness. We were just talking about you off the air.
Oh, my God. I missed y'all so much. I said y'all ain't on Sunday nights live anymore. I don't know. Oh, my God. I got so much to talk about. I mean...
Well, get moving.
Okay, number one. Okay. Are they going to send, when Melina comes back before too long, is she going to SmackDown to feud with Layla and Michelle?
I would bet you $100 they have not even thought about that yet.
Well, that double champion thing is just crazy. I have yet to figure that out. When you have a two-on-one handicap match, how that becomes a three-way for the title. Yeah, I know they had to get the belt off of Beth because of her ACL and everything, but...
Yeah, the double title thing to me reeks of something you would see on Impact.
Exactly, exactly. Now, speaking of Impact, I really thought it was nice they brought Roxy back and she got a clean pin off of Madison Rayne this week.
Yeah, you can thank ODB for opening her mouth and criticizing TNA in an interview. I think that was the spot that was supposed to go to her. But she did an interview and talked about how unhappy she was with some of the things going on in TNA. And
right.
The next thing you know, she's off the show, and they brought Roxy back to take her place.
Well, I'm telling you, she looked nice. She didn't have that old red hair and everything. And she, like I said, I just hope she'll stay healthy this time. And but what I can't understand is why Madison keeps coming out all the time to the ring, and you don't see the rest of the beautiful people.
I actually don't have an answer for you for that one.
Okay, that's all right.
Let me ask you this, as our resident expert on the women's division.
Oh, I tried to. I've been, like I said, all the stuff I've been trying to store up, and, you know, and that's just like Hamada. What is Hamada's situation
Well,
now?
Actually, wait, let me ask you my question first. On Impact this past Thursday, Madison Rayne had a match with Roxy, actually.
Right,
And Madison got to do a singles match as a heel, and she carried most of the match there, and I don't say carried, but I thought that was the best Madison Rayne has ever looked.
I do. I could not concur anymore. I thought she was good. She was doing all the dirty tactics. She was working the match just like a heel should work, you know, with all the chokes and kicks and punches and all that and the other. And yeah, I thought both of them did work the match good. I mean, you know, but Madison looked really good. I was pleasantly surprised. I'll put it to you that way.
And I'll
tell you what, she's got the ring entrance down.
Well, she's got,
Yeah,
she's got the ring entrance down. I don't know what's up with Hamada, actually, right now.
I don't know either. I don't know if they ever knew how to use her to begin with.
Well, that's obvious.
Because she wrestled that style, you know, in Japan and Mexico that's, totally, they're clueless to in the United States. I mean,
yeah, I think
she didn't have a great one with Sarita, but yeah, I mean, it was obvious when it was they had her, they had cheerleader Melissa, they had worked back as far as 1998 with each other. Mm-hmm. Just do that, but obviously,
exactly.
I mean, the loss of Dutch Mantel was a lot worse than I thought it ever could be.
Exactly,
I didn't really realize how much he was putting into that women's division, and the fact that he was one of the ones helping keep it together.
Right. Well, didn't they get Scott D'Amore back for a while, and then he left, didn't he?
He didn't last very long, no.
No, and he was the one
that
helped on
the women anyway, and the fact that there's, you know, they have the Knockouts tag titles and all this other nonsense, and they're running out of women now.
You know,
I know it. I mean, they've run out. I mean, they were stupid enough. They said they didn't know how to use Sarah Del Rey. I mean, she would have been great, you know. She could work heel or face. And
yeah,
like I said, they wouldn't pay Kong what she deserved.
For, you know, more competition, which may bring in awesome Kong to ROH, and that's a very simple way on how to use Sarah Del Rey.
Exactly. And she has openly said she would work for Vince too, you know, if Vince would take it. But I'm just afraid that Vince is too concerned by looks. Not saying that she's a bad looking woman, she's not. But she's not the blonde bombshell type that Vince likes to hire for the diva division. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I actually want to talk about Melissa after the break. We've got to head to a phone call, a commercial. I want to thank you very much for the call, Jim, but I want to talk a little bit about cheerleader Melissa after the break. Back in just a moment, you're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We were talking about the women before the break, and I wanted to make just one mention of cheerleader Melissa. She was like the female version of Frankie Kazarian, in the sense that Frankie Kazarian's a pretty good-looking guy. He's got a pretty good build. And their idea was, we're going to put him in a full-body suit and a mask. And it's actually the exact same thing with cheerleader Melissa, where she's got a pretty good build, especially the upper body. She's very pretty. And what do? They cover her entire body in this outfit. Why? Because somebody heard her do a fake accent that they thought was really clever, and so they had to use her as Raisha Saeed. And my thought was always like, why don't you use her as both? And it took them like a year and a half to figure that out, and then that lasted about 3 months, and then they just got rid of her. So it's the story of TNA is people that have absolutely no eye for talent for the most part.
No, and it's like, you know, you don't want to see anybody lose their jobs in this, you know, climate in this wrestling culture, because it's not like you can go to Japan or Europe and make any money or anything like that unless you're one of a few guys. But from a selfish creative point of view, if they do actually start doing some cost cutting, odds are they're going to cut the wrong guys. Like, yeah, I can see the first round of TNA cuts, including like the Motor City Machine Guns, which wouldn't be good for their pockets if they had to go back to ROH and work the indies. But with that said, for me as a fan, it would be far more enthralling to watch them there than to watch them in TNA.
Actually, believe it or not, I don't think they'd cut the Machine Guns first. I think that we'd see guys like Doug Williams, unfortunately.
But and there's a great example, and I have to give TNA credit for this and the fact that Doug Williams, at this point in his career, just like Regal and Finley, when he can pull off what they're doing with him now. I didn't think they were going to give him the chance, so I do have to actually give them that for him. But yeah, unfortunately, with the way that they think about things, it's like, are you going to justify a guaranteed contract or something like that? The other frustrating thing with TNA too is, Mick Foley is still technically under contract, but they ran out of dates on him. I think you had written that. And they're running into the same situation with Ric Flair, which is just mind-boggling because they do need Flair on TV every single week.
Yeah, they don't think things out very far in advance. One thing about the cuts, and there are cuts coming. And by the way, for the record, I don't expect them to cut Doug Williams. I don't want people starting rumors on the internet that I said that Doug Williams is going to be cut. The reason that I said that I don't think they're going to cut the Machine Guns is because the Machine Guns did a date for ROH, and they were supposed to do a job, and TNA flipped out and said they were absolutely not going to be doing a job, and so they had to change the finish. And if they didn't care about the Machine Guns, they would not care if they did a job for ROH. So we're going to talk about the cost-cutting here in a moment. We do have somebody here on the line, so let's take this call. You're on Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from? Going once. Going twice. And you failed. All right, we'll go back to Dixie here. The deal is this. TNA did a 1 this week, which actually is not as good as it sounds. It was actually like a 0.97. I think last week they did a 0.93. May have been a 0.96 and a 0.93. Regardless, it was not a gigantic jump. And when you consider that last week, they went head-to-head with an NBA game that did 9.8 million viewers, and this week they did not. This week's number is actually more disappointing than last week's number. Now, as mentioned, changes have got to be made. They're overshooting their target on a lot of these contracts. Some guys are going to have to be cut. There's probably going to be a round of cuts coming. But the problem is, Dixie's in charge, and she is fighting all of these people that want to make cuts because she feels that it's a bad economy, We don't want to see guys unemployed. They're not going to find work elsewhere. I really don't want to cut these guys. She's just, I mean, I'll say this about Dixie. She knows absolutely nothing about professional wrestling, but she seems to be someone who wants to help wrestlers. She seems to be a friendly woman. Now, with that said, some of these wrestlers are making like $200 a shot. You know what I mean? They're not making any money. Is it really that big a deal to cut someone from their job making $200? It's not even $200 a week. They just taped 4 weeks of tapings in 3 days. So if you just work the tapings and you're getting $200 a shot, you made $600. $600 a month, okay? What difference does it make whether you've got that $600 or not? You have to have a real job if you're doing this. So regardless, she doesn't want to cut these people because she's got such a big heart. But at the same time, I watched Impact on Thursday, and they did an angle with Abyss, and Desmond Wolfe took a glass bottle. He broke the bottle over the ring post. He proceeded to swing the glass bottle at Abyss's arm. Abyss was legit cut open. He needed God knows how many stitches. I'd originally heard like, you know, 24. Later I heard someone else say it might have been 200. Regardless, it was a ridiculous amount of stitches because this guy was allowed to go in the ring on national television and have another guy legit cut him open with a glass bottle to the point he needed a massive amount of stitches. You know what I mean? You won't cut people making $200 a week, but this mutilation is completely fine with you. Something is just doesn't seem right about this whole situation.
No, it's just not exactly my style anyway, so, you know, it just, I'm on the record and not talking about stupid stuff like that. But, I mean, it's, you know, there's one side that says, well, you should have never hired all these people with all this big money in the first place. And the other part goes, well, don't cut the guy making $200 a week. Cut the guy making, you know, $2,000 or whatever, however much it is for some of these guys with the dead weight and get them out. I mean, you have a chance, realistically. They didn't know before the pay-per-view, obviously, I would assume, that Scott Hall had been arrested on Friday morning. You have a chance there to, what are you going to really do with Scott Hall? Does Scott Hall really need to be around the wrestling business? I mean, you know, he obviously is very well, you know, explained issues from over the years. You can cut him. I mean, does Kevin Nash really, really need to be there? I mean, yeah, I know Eric Young's a big part of the band now. I mean, he's got a lot in common with those guys. But, like, there's a little faction right there where it's like, why isn't the Guns wrestling, you know, beer money for the tag titles? And why do they have them tied up there? So I just, you know, again, there's some big names that they may want to cut, too, and maybe they go ahead and do that.
That's right. Scott Hall was in a bar. This was the Thursday before the Sacrifice pay-per-view. He got to drinking, got intoxicated, belligerent. The owner called the police. The police showed up. They reported that Scott Hall had slurring a speech and bloodshot eyes and appeared intoxicated. They went to arrest him. He freaked out. They finally got him cuffed. They took him to the patrol car, arrested him, took a hell of a mugshot, I got to say. And, yeah, this was right after or right before he had won the tag titles on television. And presumably TNA didn't find out until very recently. It was the article
here's
I read.
Here's why I would hope they didn't find out until recently. When you read the news report on it, and it says he was aggressive in the bar, was verbally abusive to a female bartender, pushed somebody in the bar, and then pushed two more females outside when he punched the car window of the car that they had actually called for him to go home. You know, it's it's. You got into this mess with Amazing Kong and Bubba. It's at what point, just for bad taste purposes, which, again, we saw with Abyss and with Desmond Wolfe with the glass bottle. I mean, yeah, it's very odd what their thinking is, because why would you not get rid of people just for PR reasons, just for that? But then again, they have Jeff Hardy in a prominent position with all of his court stuff going on. So I guess what does it say?
I loved in the Orlando Sentinel. The Orlando Sentinel, they heard Scott Hall got arrested. They immediately went to, of course, WWE.com, got his title record and that sort of thing. And then at the very end, it says something like, Scott Hall also works for the TNA, and did a brief blurb about that. And apparently this guy who worked in a newspaper in Orlando, Florida, had never heard of TNA wrestling. And to tell you how much Scott Hall thinks about not only TNA but his tag team championships, they asked him, you know, when he was arrested, what do you do for work? And he said, and I quote, "I'm an unemployed professional wrestler." So there you go, everybody. Scott Hall.
Could never go to a bar on County Road 419.
That's right. He was told he could never. He's like that wrestling fan that was told he could never go to wrestling again after he threatened to blow up Titan Towers or show up with a machine gun because they fired Mickey James. He was told he could never go to wrestling again, and he could not believe such a thing. Scott Hall is going to sober up and find out he can never go back to that bar again.
God, what is it? Ric Flair and Scott Hall both are such bar legends that they actually had people call cars for them. It's not like they say he punched a cab. They actually called private cars to pick up Scott Hall and Ric Flair.
So some of the email questions here. This person wants to know, how old is Mil Máscaras? I believe he's 67. And why does WWE want to take the mask off Dos Caras Jr.? Wasn't the point of signing him that he is a masked wrestler like Mysterio? WWE is weird in that I don't know if they want another masked wrestler. I think the idea is like, we've got one Rey Mysterio. He's a luchador with a mask. We've got one straight edge guy. I guess they got a few giants, but, you know, they've got one John Cena, that's for sure. And
No, they don't. They have Darren Young, too.
That's right. I'm sorry.
Stunt double.
That's right. They do have Darren Young. So, yeah, they I don't know. It's like, it's really weird in some ways, and I don't think they want another masked wrestler until there's no more Rey Mysterio in WWE. I don't know why it
and
is.
And that's possible, but it could also just be at this point right now. It's not like he's ready to come up from Florida or anything like that. So they just may have tried him out without the mask on, and they could plop it back on him. I mean, they could do the same thing with Loki, too, and put a mask back on him. And, you know, there's a couple guys they could do that with. So I wouldn't be shocked if he does come up with the mask. I also wouldn't be shocked if, unlike Mysterio, who I don't think we'll ever see unmasked in WWE ring, that you see Dos Caras is unmasked. I don't know how quick, but depending on what they do, I could see it happening relatively soon after he comes in.
We'll talk about this a little bit more after the break. I want to ask you, actually, about Mysterio and unmasking him. We'll talk about that and more after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts for the next half hour, taking your phone calls and emails. Got a caller on the line right now. You're on Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Sinbad from Chicago.
Sinbad, and what's happening?
And I'm not going to talk about Cody this time.
Good.
He's getting buried. I know. I see the writing on the wall.
Now, what can you do? What's your question?
It's not really a question, it's more of a statement. I think that now that, you know, the rumor of Abraham Washington coming to Raw as a GM is a great idea. And I think I'm going to put all my support behind Abraham Washington now, and I think everybody else should too. What do you think about it all?
I would like you to explain to us why you think this is a great idea.
Well, first off, when I went to Phoenix, like you did, I met Abraham Washington, and there was about 7 people in line to meet him, and so he took his time to meet all of us, and he's a really nice guy. So that's why I think everybody should get behind him, because, you know, nice people should have jobs.
Huh.
That's what Dixie's saying.
I was going to say, so Dixie Carter should be running TNA because she's a nice person?
Dixie looks good, too, in person. You saw that picture, like her and Jakey on the board.
So she's good looking and she's nice. Thus, she should be running TNA.
Well, no, she's rich. There's nothing you could do about that. She has money. That's the reason she runs TNA.
I know, but let's just say, to play devil's advocate, that Dixie Carter had no money, and they just needed someone to run the company, and they scoured the world, and they're down south, and they go, my God, that's a good looking older woman, and she's really nice. Let's have her run the company.
There's no fucking way I would ever do that, ever.
Sinbad, we can't use that kind of language here.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's okay.
There's a typical Abraham Washington fan right there.
That's right, that's right. Well, Sinbad, thank you very much for the call right there. It was a bad one, but thanks for calling in anyway. Let's get back down to business here with some serious talk about professional wrestling. We were on emails. This is what we were doing. Sinbad totally threw me off.
Actually, before you say that, too, about nice people and talking about some of the things that have gone on in TNA, we haven't brought up the fact that Carlito has been fired this week, which explains why Primo, who he and Carlito had beaten up R-Truth at the behest of Ted DiBiase Jr., that Primo was actually working that match with Gus Carrasco as a good guy.
Yeah, Carlito showed up for work all messed up, and they told him to go home. They called him, and they asked him to please go to rehab. He refused. They called again. He refused. They called again. He refused. So they cut him. That's the story of Carlito. And it's you know something's up when he didn't even have one strike, and he was in such bad shape that they weren't even messing around. It was like, you need to go to rehab now. And he refused, and thus he was fired. So, bad times for Carlito, probably going back to work in Puerto Rico, I would guess, or maybe TNA will bring him in immediately, as they have done before when people have been fired for drug-related issues, the most obvious of which was Kurt Angle. But I guess we shall see. So, there you go. The question I was going to ask you, actually, before Sinbad threw me off my game. Rey Mysterio, you mentioned the fact that he would never be unmasked in a WWE ring, and I guess my question is, what do you think about, like, the end of his career? Think they'll take it off right there at the very end?
I think it's going to be hard because the way the machine works, I don't think he's going to be a case like Funaki, who could go back to Japan now and just be in all Japan and disappear, and they never mention word of him again except on the clip on 24/7. I think Mysterio is a guy you can bring back, and, I mean, is it over the top? Yeah, but there's guys like, I mean, the only guy I can think of that can really pull this off, I mean, Jody Hamilton, we all know he looks like without the mask, and he's kind of big now anyway to be wearing it. He was at the ECW show when he was there years ago. I'm not sure what he looks like now, but, you know, Dick Byer could pull it off as the Destroyer and always wear the mask, and I think you can do that same thing with Mysterio for a long time, and it's, anybody could really go see what he looks like online because they did it in WCW. But I think with the generation of fans that WWE has coming up and the way that they're conditioning their fan base, you can have Mysterio with that mask on and have him coming back to Hall of Fames and things like that years from now and be able to pull it off and make some money with it. So I would not do it if I were him. It doesn't make any sense. You already pulled it off once. Why do it again? Why? I think you make more money with it having it. So,
you know, I've seen Dick Byer without his mask on.
How impressive is it? Because I will say this, I still want to get a shot of blown up on my wall of an old shot that was taken in the late 60s, early 70s of Dick Byer at the breakfast table with his family, and the dog has got a mask on, the wife serving breakfast has got a mask on, he's reading the morning paper, drinking coffee, the little kid in the high chair has got a mask on. It's the greatest picture I've ever seen, and I want to somehow get that picture. I think Mysterio could do that too.
And not quite as good as that, but when I went to King of Indies in 2001, Dick Byer was there and hung out a lot with him that weekend. We were all doing stuff together, and I remember, like, he showed up at the show, obviously, and had his mask on and this and that, and he wore his mask throughout the day and this and that, and I think, if I recall correctly, we went out to eat at night, and wherever we went to eat, it was closed. And Dick Byer was there waiting to go into the restaurant with his mask still on. He was going to go in for dinner with his mask on. But, like, when the restaurant was closed, I guess Dick just was like, well, day's over. And he unmasked right there in front of me, and he just looked like an old guy.
That's how old school he was. He showed up in it. I'm stunned he took it off at the end there. But he drove in with the mask on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He wore that mask everywhere. Yeah. He was hardcore.
Again, he's the only guy that could pull that off and you go, you don't say anything about him. I guess unless you're from Mexico. I guess Mo Masters can still do that too. Who it probably at 69 is somehow moves faster than he did at 39.
You know, we were talking on one of the other shows on the website about the Bryan Danielson Michael Cole deal on NXT, and my buddy Vince thought it was stupid. He thought that Bryan Danielson had a fair fight with Michael Cole and this and that, and I thought it was great. I mean, I loved it. What were your thoughts on it?
I just thought he just should have went over there and choked him out and dropped his head on the desk and walked away. I thought it would have been more effective if they're going to do that way, too. And, you know, it's hard for me to watch that show because I just haven't liked it from the start. And, you know, again, obviously, not that I have super strong feelings on what they should be doing with Danielson, but I'm kind of sitting there just jaw agape of missed chances of trying to do something with him. And I don't think, you know, doing that with Michael Cole, I mean, obviously, if he just would have punched him in the face once or just went around and choked him out and dropped him on the desk, I think that would have been sufficient for playing up to what they were trying to play up to with. That's something everyone on the internet wants to do to Michael Cole for talking bad about Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, I thought it was a very, very heated segment. I thought the people really got into it. I thought a lot of people got to, you know, the way I kind of phrased it was, I didn't want to see Michael Cole hurt or beat up just because he's an annoying announcer. I can't even really say he's a bad announcer because I think he's actually been pretty damn good in his role on NXT. But, I mean, in general, it's been a long time, and he's really not a great announcer. And, you know, like I said, I don't want to see him beat up. I don't want to see anything happen to him. I don't want to see anything bad happen to his family or anything crazy like that. But, you know, it was kind of worth it after all these years to see some dude just slap him around a little bit. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm sure there are people listening to this show right now that wish somebody would slap me around a little bit. And that's fine. You know? I don't want people wishing doom upon me or saying, I hope that guy dies in a car wreck or I hope that guy gets shot walking down the street. But, you know, maybe somebody's heard something I've said and says, you know, that guy deserves a good slapping. And I kind of felt that Michael Cole kind of deserved a good slapping. And Daniel Bryan gave it to him, and it was a heated segment. People got into it, and I thought it was a lot of fun.
True, I guess. But then it's where do we go from here, and where do we go from here?
Well, we go to Bryan Danielson going to another show and getting over.
That would be nice. You know, fine. Put him under a mask, too. I don't care. Just give him the ability to work with Christian for a little while or something like that, or get over to SmackDown. That would be far better for him, and if he's there, that would actually be a really good thing.
I don't agree with the mask, though. I think that, first off, I think the problem I have with his look, really, everyone talks about the plain look and the no charisma and that sort of thing. He's actually got a really expressive face, and I think the problem is just his haircut right now is just wrong for the character. He's got to go back to the kind of the longer hair, like it's not long, but it's just a little longer and a little scruffier, and he's got the beard going on a little bit. He looked way more like a badass then than he does now with just the nicely shaved face and the carefully cropped hair. It's just his character. That's not Bryan Danielson to me, the Bryan Danielson character. I'm saying you should go all the way back to the wizard beard. That's maybe going a little too far. But just a nice little something in between.
Yeah, you know what's tough, too, is, you know, Danny Hodge proved this eons ago. He can still prove it today, even at his age. And we see it with UFC all the time, and we're going to see how they match up Quentin Jackson when he's there talking to guys, if he ends up going through with hosting Raw, depending on what happens with the Rashad Evans fight, I would assume, and how WWE puts guys next to him to make him look. Bryan Danielson is a guy of why you can have a cruiserweight title, and all you need is a story. You know, it was like Jericho Malenko in WCW. He's perfect for that. And obviously, I mean, you can have him fight heavyweights, too, with the fact that, you know, in a fight, you know, we've seen this time and again in UFC, you know, a good little guy can't choke out a no-talent big guy. So you could still have him do that, too. But that would be a great way to actually introduce him and utilize some talent. It's just that there's obviously no way they're going to do that. And realistically, with the amount of title belts they have, unless they start merging some, and they would just get lost in the mix anyway. But it's troubling that with UFC and with so many great guys from over the years that they can't actually utilize a title like that. Because, again, just put a little thought behind the story, and it's not that hard.
What happened to the ROH TV tapings last night with the Briscoes' dad?
Yes. I'm not sure when these things are going to air or not, but... Yeah, apparently we've got some Delaware dad involvement taking place right around Father's Day here coming up. But the Kings of Wrestling apparently made Mr. Briscoe so mad that he hopped the rail and jumped in the ring and took a slap at Claudio, and then was met with an elbow by Hero, and they kind of beat him down until the Briscoes had to come and make the save. And it really does look like some good TV coming up. They taped on Friday in Philadelphia, and it involved Colby Carino getting involved in his dad's match against Colt Cabana. But then the tapings on Saturday, they taped a bunch. We talked about Del Rey's competition request and this thing with the Kings of Wrestling, but also apparently there was some really good stuff with El Generico and Tyler Black, and how it all ties in with Kevin Steen and El Generico and Colt Cabana and Carino and everything else that's going on. They tie that all together, too.
That, of course, is leading up to the next big pay-per-view with Tyler Black defending the title against Davey Richards coming up in June at GoFightLive.tv. And we'll be following that. We'll talk about that more in the next couple of weeks as well. We've actually got to head to a break here. But when we come back, we'll do a final preview of the WWE Over the Limit pay-per-view. It's coming up just after this show goes off the air with, of course, the I Quit Match main event. It's John Cena defending against Batista in an I Quit match where, well, the guy who quits is actually probably going to quit for a little while, but we'll see how long that ends up being. But anyway, we'll talk more about that after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here for the final segment on the show. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Couple minutes, it starts. WWE Over the Limit, I Quit match, Batista and John Cena. We've got the world title match with Jack Swagger and The Big Show. Rey Mysterio and CM Punk are having a match where if Rey loses, he joins the Straight Edge Society. If he wins, CM Punk gets shaved, and a lot of other stuff as well. If you're not buying the pay-per-view, head to WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to be doing live running play-by-play of the show throughout the evening. All of the matches as they take place. We'll tell you who wins, who loses, the whole nine yards. That's up at WrestlingObserver.com. And don't forget to check it out. Daily news updates. We've got columns. We have radio shows. You can scroll down the right-hand side of the page. Click on any of the latest three free radio shows. Download them to your iPod, your iPhone, whatever your media player might be. Listen to them. And if you love them, consider signing up for the website. $10.95 a month. We do 10, 15, 20 sometimes radio shows every single week. I think as of today, we're up to about 15 for the past week. Plus, we archive every show we do. So if you sign up today, you can get every show we've done since 2005. So if you love this program, WrestlingObserver.com is the place for you. You can also head to iTunes, and if you go to the App Store and type in Wrestling Observer, we've got a free iPhone app up there. You can get all of the radio shows. You can get all of the news updates. Everything else, it's available in our brand new iPhone app. So check it out in the iTunes App Store. Search for Wrestling Observer, and it will come right up. We've got a new free show coming up tomorrow night as well. I believe it's tomorrow night, maybe Tuesday. It's either Wrestling Observer Radio or the Brian and Vinny Show. So check out WrestlingObserver.com for those. And, of course, as noted, check out the play-by-play on the front page of the WWE Over the Limit pay-per-view. Dave Meltzer and I will be up later on tonight with a new Wrestling Observer Radio running down that show. Should be a fun time, and we'll talk to everybody then. And next week as well, we'll be back here on Wrestling Observer Live. You're listening to the Sports Byline Radio Network. We'll talk to you again next week.